The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. Tons of reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's fast, safe, and secure, and it has fast payouts as quick as 2 hours. There's also so many bet types, including same-game parlay bets, live betting, player props, and futures. FanDuel is making it easy for everyone to bet this season with a bunch of promotions that they'll be sharing all season long on our podcast. If you've been listening along, you've heard a lot of those. There's risk-free bets and same-game parlay bets, enhanced odds markets, and more. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code J&J so they know we sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, November 29th, and we have got a lot to talk about because we haven't talked on the podcast in a week. We still talked. We're friends off the podcast. We
talked a whole lot, actually. A lot of group chat.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. We talked a lot of stupid shit in the group chat. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike, and I almost accidentally just flipped your guys' Twitter names.
My dog is out of it, man.
Bro, this man went to bed at 5 a.m. last night. He is in hell right now, okay?
We're doing great. We're definitely still young enough to live like this. we have gotten a couple comments that people are still having trouble keeping your guys' voices apart, which may have something to do with the fact that when we intro your voices, neither of you talk with your actual voices.
Well, that's on them to figure out.
But the thing is,
said Tyler.
Right. I talk like a hashtag, like I said in the group chat. Like, you know what I'm saying? All my words, I have no spaces in between my fucking words. They run together. It's very obvious who's who. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was John. I just do that the whole podcast.
I talk like fucking Ned Flanders, bro. My voice geeky as fuck. Like,
anytime someone's ever made that comment to me, I always call them racist. I don't care if they're white, if they're black, if they're Asian. It's like, oh, you can't tell John and Tyler apart, you racist motherfucker.
I think the thing is, like, I think I write different from how I talk. You feel me? Like, I'm thinking out shit while I'm talking, but when I write, it's a full thing, you know, it's generally a full thought. With Tyler, you know what I'm saying? He tweets just like he talks. This nigga has takes ready at all times. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you hear a nigga, you know what I'm saying, trying to figure out what he wants to say on here, it's me, motherfucker John, okay? Tyler knew what he was going to say in the last lifetime, my nigga, okay? This is the third time on this planet, all right?
It was good to take the middle of the week off for the holiday, but we missed quite a bit of crazy shit that obviously the three of us have been talking about. We haven't got a chance to talk about it on the podcast. Did the Bron Isaiah Stewart thing happen, I think, like a couple hours after we recorded our last episode?
It was like right after.
Obviously, that's had a chance to play out a little bit with the fines and everything else, and Bron getting his first ever suspension, which is wild. What did you guys think of that? How are we feeling? I still don't believe he hit him in the face intentionally. I think he was trying to rip his arm off his body and caught him in the back, you know, caught him in the face with the back of his hand. I don't believe he was trying to hit him personally.
I think, you know, it's clear as hell Bron was throwing that bow to get some separation. I think he was at the point now where it's like, if this motherfucker's on the receiving end of it, so be it. I think that's where Bron was at that very moment. Like, you saw him do the whole lip bite frustration shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you do that and let an elbow go, you don't give a fuck where it lands after that.
I think, like, the thing is, like, yeah, it was a get the fuck off me, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, but he didn't mean it to end with the fist. He meant it to end with the elbow. You know what I mean? It just so happened, you know, Isaiah's pace got in the way of Bron's fist. You know, it's not Bron's fault. He was just trying to get him off. But yeah, he definitely meant to get him up off him. And it was a foul. He meant to foul him. He just didn't mean to punch him in his shit. But he did punch him in his shit. So he deserved the suspension. You know what I mean? I think the intention was not that, though. You know what I'm saying? It's wild to see Isaiah and how he reacted, though. Do y'all think Isaiah really wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he got to Bron, it was really going to be what it looked like it was going to be?
I guess. I mean, I guess he wanted to fight Bron. I think after he saw he was bleeding is when he kind of really lost his shit, which is understandable.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a normal reaction.
He had the Nelson Muntz. He said he made me bleed my own blood, and then he went fucking crazy.
You do this and you have a handful of blood, you know, everybody's going to react like that. He wanted his issue, you feel me?
What's crazy to me is the first time I saw the clip, I thought Bron cracked his shit with the elbow. But then I saw the replay, and he cracked his shit with the backhand. That motherfucker is strong as hell. God damn. How you draw blood with a pimp slap? I ain't never seen no shit like that.
That opened him up closed, in two though. Places with the back of his hand, bro.
That fist was closed, bro. That was a fist, nigga. That was a fist, my G. He punched it. And then this, I remember this Ami right here, that shit right here. I mean, you see him boxing and shit, bro. Like, I tweeted this, but I was playing once, caught a bow right there. Barely felt it in half my
on the eyebrow. Face. You're saying on the eyebrow.
On the eyebrow. Barely felt it. It didn't even hurt. And I only needed four stitches, but half my face was full of blood. You know what I mean? In college. You know what I'm saying? Like, the nigga that did it was actually in tears. Like, oh my God, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But it looks way better than what it is. And I think, oh boy, barely felt it too. And was like, what the fuck, nigga? Then he saw his face, saw the blood in his hands, and he was like, okay. But I think Isaiah Stewart is crazy enough to be scary, but I don't think he's crazy enough to fight the fucking face of the league for the last fucking 20 years. You know, that's a different type of crazy, nigga. You know what I mean? Like,
so I felt the same way, and I tweeted something to that extent, and a friend of mine who has coached Isaiah Stewart hit me up and was like, you are wrong. And I said, look, I mean, you know better than me, but I also know that NBA players don't fight. It costs them too much money, you know, everything else. And he responded, he just said he does not give a fuck about any of that shit, bro. And some dudes are like that. It's not a lot of them who make it all the way up to a pro league, but some dudes are like that. So I don't know.
I don't question whether he'll fight, but a lot comes with fighting Bron. A lot more than just fighting, nigga. A lot more than just fighting a 6'8", 260 motherfucker, which is a lot already. You know what
optimistically.
I mean? You know what I mean?
37-year-old father of three with the old man angry dad strength setting in too, right? On top of being a cyborg.
And I don't think Bron wanted to fight because I don't think that's him, but I don't think anybody wants to fight Bron either. You know what I mean? Like, that's still a big motherfucker.
I will say Isaiah went right over his assistant coach. Like, you know what I mean? There was no, like, oh, I better. I mean, he shouldered straight into the chest of his assistant coach when he was on his Derrick Henry run. He broke, six tackles trying to get to that.
There was no holding me back in Isaiah Stewart. I respect that. There's no holding me back. Hold me back. None of that was in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think, I mean, once you get up to Bron, I don't know, bro. That's a, I mean.
I don't want to fight him. And his canner doesn't want to fight him. You know what
I mean? I don't want to fight none of these niggas. These monsters. But I'm just saying, I don't know. A lot comes with fighting Bron, baby. You know what I mean? Like, you gonna throw away your whole shit. You gonna be in China playing for the Shanghai, whatever, nigga. You want to do that shit? Shanghai Sharks. That's what you want to be.
Shanghai, whatever. Right. You're starting forward for the Shanghai, whatever.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're going to think about you. Isaiah, who, motherfucker? Shit. That's what you're going to be. You trying to do that shit? I don't know, bro. I don't know. So.
All right. Well, there's been one other big topic of conversation regarding Bron with this. I just have to see this as him joining up with John in a hatred of Indianapolis, that he on the road got two white people in Indianapolis kicked out of courtside seats. I knew as soon as I saw the clip of him pointing him, I knew they said some crazy shit because he does not usually.
He's never done that. He's never done that.
He does not usually, you know. Well, these guys, I mean, they can get people kicked out in a more subtle way. But when someone actually stops the game, You know what I mean?
Get these motherfuckers out of here. I ain't never.
I'm not playing another second until these motherfuckers are out of here. You know, and what was crazy was on the internet.com, people actually were defending the people before they found out what they said, which is like, what did you think they said? You thought they said he's a bum or something? Like,
but I think people still were, the people that were defending them still were defending them afterwards. It's a particular like, type of motherfucker that would see that and not know that some dumb shit was, that some evil shit. I ain't gonna say dumb, evil shit evil. Was said. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, Bron has been the most hated player in the league since that summer 2010 after the decision. You know, the shit that he has heard his whole fucking career, you know, going back to Cleveland of all places, you know, going back to Miami where there's some fans there who still hate him, you know, for leaving. You know, for him to lose his shit like that, you know he heard some foul shit. And, you know, like you said, John, the people who are still siding with him, you know, they hate Bron regardless, and there is nothing that they think anyone can do to cross a line to, you know, disrespect Bron. So fuck those people too.
I mean, go ahead. Mike, you about to say something?
I was just going to say, I think also even taking Bron out of it, because the same stuff came up with Russ in Utah, there is definitely a kind of white sports fan that strongly believes that if they buy a ticket, everything after that is their product that they have already purchased. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I could say whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. I could get drunk and be as big of an asshole as I want. Those kind of fans, quite honestly, aside from the cost, are actually a bigger part of why we don't take our kids to a lot of sporting events, like pro sporting events. I prefer taking them to high school and college stuff because it's less of that. You know what I mean? I don't care if you're a baseball game, a football game, or an NBA game. Like, there's people who just like, I don't care if your 6-year-old son is sitting in front of me, I'm gonna yell this foul shit at a millionaire for the entire game. And so you couple that kind of fan with the emotions that exist about Bron. Yeah, I'm honestly almost unfortunately surprised that this doesn't happen more often.
It's a sports fan that's never had getting punched in the face as a consequence. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we really need to work on that, okay? As a society, you know, we should allow more punching in the motherfucking face. The NBA need to figure that shit out. Where a motherfucking get their ass skull dragged on national motherfucking television for saying some wild, evil shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. I would love to see Savannah one-on-one with that motherfucking devil. You know what I mean?
That devil. That jackal.
With that motherfucking.
That devil kissing a jackal in the mouth couple. The mouth
with that motherfucking devil. You know, that demon. I would love to see her exercise that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? In a one-on-one situation. You feel me? Mm. Get that evil up out of her. You know what I mean? And see how smug and how big her motherfucking mouth is after that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I've been dealing with, like, you know, I've been wondering how would I figure out somebody bullying my child? And one of the options I thought of, maybe I'll beat that child's dad ass in front of that child and be like, this is your fault, little motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You gonna calm your ass down talking to my shorty, or I'm gonna beat your dad's ass again. You feel me? That's probably not the way. You know what I mean? But if somebody would have stuck that motherfucker, that dude she was with, and blamed it on her, I wouldn't have been mad at that either. You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be some consequences for motherfuckers being out here talking sideways in that way. He's threatening a lot. You wish death upon his child and think that's cool? Motherfuckers get killed for less. You know what I mean? If somebody would have said that shit out in the open, butt naked in the wild, and that motherfucker is not breathing after that, I'd understand that shit. You feel what I'm saying? And so they out here saying this shit in games. They need to get they motherfucking ass drug up and down the street. One good time and they'll shut the fuck up, and I guarantee that shit. That's the medicine they need. It's an ass whooping. You feel me?
We need our tests and Steven Jackson on hand at as much games as possible to restore this type of order. Which, yeah, but going to
restore
to,
the order.
But going to like, you know, going off what you said and what Mike said about how we don't see this shit at like high school games, And it goes back to how motherfuckers know there will be consequences if you say this shit at a high school game. Like, if you say, yo, hey, 28, you're a fucking bum. Get off the field. 28's pops is going
to
come see
you. You're going to talk to someone about that.
Yeah, right, right. So number 28's pops is going to come see you in those fucking bleachers if you're talking that reckless. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, people say violence isn't the answer, but it is. Sometimes.
Oh, it is. It is.
It makes
there's nuance to life, and violence is the answer sometimes. I'm sorry.
Violence is frequently the answer. Violence is very frequently the answer, and that John's going through the same thing I am that I did as a dad, where you have to figure out ways to translate your love into things other than violence. Because I used to do the same thing when my kids were babies. Like, I wish someone would bump this fucking stroller right now. You know, you just don't know how to express it. The power of your love, otherwise, than like, I will take someone's head off their body for you, you little baby.
when I'm driving and shit, you know what I mean? Like with my shorty. I don't know how everybody drives like a dickhead. And I was one of them dickheads. I don't see why a motherfucker didn't snatch me out my whip and beat my motherfucking ass. I was real lucky. You know what I mean? I've been thinking like, nigga, motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
You remember the story Mero told when he was on here about being in the parking lot with this kid.
And I'm surprised some dad didn't do me bad out here, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? Cause nigga, like, but yeah, I get it, bro. Like, but I mean, to say something like that out loud, bro, you're evil. You're evil. That's demonic shit. And whatever comes with that, comes with that. And I ain't got no sympathy for you. And it can go anywhere with it. And I ain't got no sympathy. Fuck that. You know what I mean? And she looked like it was like, well, it's me. I get kicked out of the game for, you know, wishing death on a child. Nigga, get your ass whooped, please. Somebody drag this motherfucker. There should be somebody on hand. If not Artest, we should have somebody on hand with them hands at all times ready to beat a fan's ass on the way out the motherfucking arena. You know what I'm saying?
I think Tyler made Tyler like kind of blew my mind though, making his point about it really is all about consequences. And the smaller the interaction, the greater the consequence, right? If someone said something like that to any of us individually, obviously you know what's going to happen, right? If you say that at a high school game, 90% chance or whatever, right? Someone's going to get it. And an NBA game, who knows how many people at that game said the same shit and then just were far enough away that they couldn't hear him or whatever. Twitter.com, no one could do shit to you. You're sitting at home, you know, on the thing. Like, so
bunch of
it's
bullies.
Wild. It's wild that you, as you remove that out, and I think it also kind of gets in part to why some of the moral codes of religions were created by people in power, that they're like, we got to find a way to make people.
Because we going to get our ass
that sword
out
is right here. Because otherwise, yeah. For
it'll
sure.
be
like,
a nigga and some hokers talking shit to your ass on Twitter. You know what I mean? When they really would get their ass beat in real life. It wasn't for these moral codes. Nigga, fuck that.
It's like, oh, well, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. You know what I mean?
But shit, let it be what it's going to be then. Fuck it. Haven't seen Born anyway. Shit.
let's
get my issue down here. You feel what I'm saying? Fuck you, man.
Let's talk about the dunk of the year and the man who tried to ruin it. Anthony Edwards.
Let's talk about another devil.
Another devil.
Trying to ruin the game. Get that man away from the league. Get him away from basketball. He's taking away the artistry. Okay? You know?
I want to propose that if a dunk is good enough, it should over, and they should put this in writing. If a dunk is good enough to make the opposing team's bench lose their mind, it overrides all the other rules of basketball. Yes. If you didn't dribble, if he's in the restricted zone, like if he took a charge, if you make your opponent's teammate cheer for you, the dunk counts automatically.
Yes. Yes, that's a good rule of thumb. I fully endorse that. Where's my fucking gavel?
Sustain, nigga.
Sustain. But yeah, man, fuck that ref, man. Fuck taking charges on dunks, for one. Let's go to the root cause of this shit. Like,
that's some fucking Duke Blue Devil shit.
Yeah, that's what I say. This isn't fucking Cameron Indoor, motherfucker. This is the NBA. Right. You are a millionaire. Why are you doing
Get
this,
Get the fuck
bro?
Out of here, Shane Battier, all right? Be over with that. Raise
yeah,
hand.
For real.
Fuck you mean, dog? He jumped over a human. Even by the rules of the game, I don't think that's a charge. Just his feet were up. But, dog, it's not his fault. He's more athletic than everybody else, nigga. You know what I'm saying? He had the ability to jump from outside the restricted area. I don't know how anybody that enjoys basketball sees that and then wants to take that away from somebody. That's a jealous-ass, hateful motherfucker. His friends need to watch him. His friends need to watch him. That's the egg. You know what I'm saying? That's
his friends need to mow the grass so they can
right.
see the snakes.
See the snake. That's an evil motherfucker, bro. You know, the NBA need to mow the grass.
That's a devil.
That's a devil. That's a devil. Flat out. Flat out. That's a devil. They're going to mow the grass. That's a devil. He's a devil in their own front yard. Bro, get that motherfucker out of there, dog. He is, should not be in the game. He is ruining that shit. That motherfucker jumped over a human and boomed on their ass. How you see that and think wrong? If you see that and think wrong, you don't understand basketball, baby. You know what I'm saying?
He put the crease between his testicles directly on that man's nose bridge.
We call that the gooch around these parts.
The gooch?
He put the gooch on that man's
gooch.
Nose.
He put the gooch on him. You heard the suction when the motherfucking nose fit right in the gooch, nigga.
At that moment in time, no higher power is on the side of the gooch E, and the official should not, you know, take his side. It's just, it is, yeah. That's the natural law of man.
Mike, imagine the energy of a motherfucker to see that and to do this. Imagine, this is like, that's your response? You really, like, that's what you thinking when you see that? That's a, bro, I'm like, that's a devil.
So when I first saw the clip, I didn't know that it had been called an offensive.
That's a devil. D-E-B-I-L. That's the devil. Shit, we got to get country with that shit. That's a backwood devil shit. That's a devil. Fuck you mean? That's the real devil, you know what I'm saying? Jeez.
This Cyber Monday, nobody has a better deal than FanDuel. New customers get $50 in free bets when they sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook. No deposit required. That's right. Sign up from November 26th to November 29th, and you'll receive $50 in site credit free. I know what I would bet on. I would bet on a Lakers game, and I would bet that it's going to go terrible for them because that is what the world looks like right now, which has me miserable. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is easy to use. They're always hooking sports fans up with great offers. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code JNJ to get $50 in free bets. That's promo code JNJ. That's J ampersand J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days after receipt. Offer is non-transferable. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's talk for a minute about Enes Kanter. Did you see Shams just broke the news right before we started recording? He's getting his citizenship done. And apparently, when you do that, you have the ability to change your name, which I did not know. It does make sense because I know a lot of families that came through Ellis Island and, you know, a lot of people in the process of moving into America ended up with a different last name or whatever the fuck else. But Enes Kanter has chosen the name Enes Kanter Freedom to be his new name, which is a swing. That's a pretty big swing, bro.
A lot of subtlety there. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, even though I might think that Enes is on some dumb shit with a lot of the shit that he's doing, especially
fakes,
going
yeah,
at Bron.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's America. You have the right to be called what you want to be called. So if that's what he wants to roll with, good for him.
Also what he came from, too. I get it, man. I respect the hell out of it. You know, I mean, that's bigger than his takes on Bron. You know what I'm saying? Like his background and what he's dealing with in his home country. So, yeah, man, do that shit. I really have no ill will for him. You sound silly when you say it, but, you know, fuck it. You know what's going on? It's crazy. If he's trying to make a bigger point.
He's trying to get all up in his freedom. You know what I mean?
Do that. Please do get all up in your freedom. You know what I'm saying?
But I agree with you guys. No one, I mean, at least in my experience, the most patriotic people that I meet are not like super conservative Fox News people, it's immigrants. You know what I mean? Who, I mean, like you talk about people who immigrated to America from Southeast Asia and stuff. Those people love America.
Go to South Florida. You know what I mean? Go to Miami.
Yeah.
You see a lot of very patriotic motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
People who they've been through stuff where they live that it's like, they're like, we'll take these problems.
Right, you know? Right.
Whatever.
Also, fuck some of they politics, but at the same time, I get it to a degree. You know what I mean?
All right, John, did you guys both watch King Richard? I know you guys wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I peeped it. You ain't peeped it?
I peeped it.
I know you got a busy
week.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
You and that ankle have been fighting.
Succession.
Silly fuck ass this dude. Ankle. Yeah, man, but no, Mike, I don't want to say fuck you, but fuck you, man. You was pushing that shit off way too long, nigga. You supposed to get that shit checked out. And that's a bigger point. Yeah, don't push it off like that. You know what I'm saying? You got people that fuck with you. Ain't no telling what that shit is, dog. If it was some real shit, I'd have beat your ass. We'd have been fighting, nigga. We would have squared off. If it was some real shit, you don't push that shit off. You know what I'm saying? I don't like
I had something wrong just so people like understand. People understand what's happening. I had something wrong with my ankle, and I was going to try and not have it medically addressed for longer than I should have.
I don't like that shit, man.
John
take
was,
care of that
John
shit.
Was texting me on Thanksgiving. He was going to beat me up if I didn't go see a doctor.
Bro,
so,
man.
Anyway.
I be telling my niggas, if you die, I'm going to kill you. Right out. Don't do that, bro. Take care of yourself, bro. Get out here, get that shit checked out. Don't be pushing that shit off. Fuck that. We got insurance now, bro. Lean in.
Shit. I told when I went in on Friday morning, I told my doctor that you had said that and that you said we have insurance now. She thought that was very funny. she was like, you have it.
It's real though, man. Shit, you got motherfuckers that love you. Don't do that for yourself. Do it for the other people around you. You know what I'm saying? Hate hearing
all
shit
right.
like that.
I went to the doctor. Thank you for being a good friend. Let's talk about the movie.
Hey, Mike, you might have beat my ass too, but I would have tried, nigga. I don't know. He can beat my wife for what?
Now you would have had a real easy time with me right now, bro. You would have took one step to the side, and I would have just fell over.
Literally a one-legged man in the ass kicking.
Okay,
literally.
I would have got that ass though. Yeah, but them shoulders are something to deal with. I just say, I give you credit for them. My cardio would outlast you though.
Yes. All right, King Richard, go. Tyler.
I liked it. I hate that it's going to make me be this guy because I fucking hate this guy that I'm about to be. The whole, because, you know, the buzz for it was through the roof. People were saying, like, this is perhaps Will's greatest performance. And I was like, I mean, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't blown away particularly in it. So I'm totally being I don't see what the big deal about this is. I'm being that fucking asshole, and I hate that guy. But that's my honest take on it. Because that fucking guy usually says that shit about everything that's worth the hype. You feel what I'm saying? Like they are full of shit when they say that. I don't see all the big deal. Motherfucker, yes, you do. You just want to be different. But I am not trying to be different here. I don't think it was a good movie, but it didn't exceed the hype, I would say.
So what did you, if you weren't that into Will's performance, what did you like about it?
I thought the time frame that they focused on was perfect. It focused on the very first, you know, it cut off at the very first, after the very first professional match Venus played. So I thought that was a very good, I think that's a story that we don't hear a lot about, you know, as in regards to, you know, the upbringing and all that. Like, we know about it, of course, you know, it's probably the greatest fucking sports story in American history, how these two girls from Compton went on to be, you know, these fucking tennis gods.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I didn't know where they were going to cut the story off at, but I think that ending it after her first match was perfect.
The story was really good. You can't deny the story. It's hard to mess up a story that good. Like you said, it's one of the best stories in history of sports. That's an incredible fucking story. So the story's really good. I mean, it's for me as a country motherfucker that grew up around really country motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Like that accent he had. What, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Will Smith was not the biggest
didn't,
part.
The accent, you didn't buy the accent?
I mean, it's really hard to for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, to believe a country accent, you know what I mean? For That accent.
I truly believe a Southern accent is the hardest accent to nail.
For real. You know what I'm saying?
We've seen so many motherfuckers fumble with that shit.
Yeah, well, because it's
like,
not
Keanu
vocal.
Reeves and Devil Advocate. What the fuck was that?
That movie was good,
worst.
Though. That accent was
yeah, it was
I
a good ass
movie,
but that
though.
Fucking accent. Oh, my yeah. God.
My favorite accent of all time is Nick Cage's in Con Air because he didn't even try to like make it consistent. He was just like, I'm just going to. But at the same time, I almost think that's a more accurate Southern accent because you're right. Like, I think what makes it so hard is it's not a vocal accent. It's like physical mm-hmm. and emotional. And so you have to be acting into the way you're talking just to talk authentically that way. You know what right. I mean? And Nick Cage was just like, I'm just going to, you know, swing as hard as I can every time. I'm not going to try and be right. an actor about it. I'm going to try and be a weirdo.
And they go to like a stereotypical country accent. There's so many different type of accents. You know what I mean? Like within families, within immediate families, people talk different. You know what I'm saying? So when you're going hella hard with it, you can just tell a country nigga from somebody that ain't a country nigga. You know what I mean? And it's really hard for Will Smith, a nigga from Philly, who throws up when he's fucking.
We're going to get there.
Trying to be.
We're going to get there. Let's talk about the movie first.
Who barfing on the pussy. It's a country nigga. Because a country nigga ain't barking on that shit, dog. I just don't believe. It's hard to believe. So, like, it was a great movie. I wouldn't say he didn't do a bad job, but, like, you know that and his particular accent is very much him, Richard is the pops, you know what I'm saying? So it was a great movie. It was a great movie. I do want to say this real quick though. Check out Kevin Hart shit. That shit really good, bro. And I don't think that nigga funny for real. You know what I'm saying? I haven't watched the special in like 8 years. You know what I mean? Like, I do like Soul Plane, so that might, I don't know how y'all feel about that. But that's a hood classic, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I know it's not a good movie.
There's
a good,
no movies
movie.
That Snoop's in that I don't like.
Facts. Exactly. Facts. You know what I'm saying? So, but like, this is genuinely good. This is a
so
really
here's
good
So here's my question, and I haven't seen the movie yet. And I have sort of conflicted feelings because I'm aware of his like family history that he had like other kids that he just was like later. And yeah, I like for me as a man, I that really, as you guys know, that's like there's a lot of things that are bad that I'd rather you do than that if I'm gonna like still fuck with you, right? But I struggle generally as a sports writer with the parents that push their kids the hardest in real life are always the worst people. They are always the worst people. Mm-hmm. And yet, we are never going to get a Venus and Serena Williams or a Tiger Woods without those parents. Because there's no four-year-old who's like, I'm going to just drill on this shit incessantly, right? There's always mm-hmm. something in the kid that's met by something in the parent that leads to this sort of one-in-a-billion shot that you get athletes like this. In Venus and Serena's case, because they were these incredible young black kids playing in these super racist clubs, of course I've always been rooting for them. Venus still to me is probably my, maybe behind people that I know personally, my favorite female athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll always root for them, but definitely like conflicted feelings around putting this forward as a form of love, that this is how you raise your kids. Because I don't believe in real life, if I were to take my kids out of school and raise them this way, I would not consider myself to be a good parent. So I'm always conflicted on that. Did the movie like grapple with that? Or was it just, these are girls who love their pops making a movie about how he allowed them to become the legends that they kind of turned into?
It shows. And, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it grappled lightly with it. If that makes sense. I mean, it showed one scene where he almost drove off on them because they were bragging after a tennis match. And, you know, they did address, you know, the whole him abandoning his families, but in a very light way. I mean, his wife, you know, had a conversation with him about that. It was all of 30, 45 seconds. And
you can't put that in a movie about your dad that you made about your dad. Like exactly, obviously, completely understand that.
Exactly. And going back to what you said, we kind of have to, you know, factor in that this is a love letter from Serena and Venus to their dad too, right? So, you know, they probably don't see any fault in the way that you know, he groomed them to be tennis athletes, because it definitely didn't really shine through in the movie, I would say. It seemed way more like a letter of appreciation and love than you know, yo, he was wilding sometimes, right?
Right.
You saw what was in him, or what why he had what was in him to push them. You know what I mean? You're talking about what's in the parent that pushes the kid. You saw what was in him and why it was in him, and that was somewhat endearing. You know what I mean? They formed it in that way. They did talk about he wasn't the best. I mean, they highlighted he wasn't the best husband. You know, he was, right. He was a good husband. You know what I'm saying? They didn't shy away from that. You know what I mean? And they did show a lot of love to their mom and how their mom was a big part of their lives and pushing them as well. And how she approached it a different way. You know what I mean? But it also showed that, like, in certain times where he needed to calm his ass down, he did. You know what I mean? Allowed them to move in the way they wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Like, her going pro was not his choice. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he was really, he moved in a way that was really trying to protect his kids from things that he dealt with, he was dealing with while, you know what I'm saying, raising. He's getting his ass whooped trying to push them and shit like that. Like, physically, really getting beat up in the areas he was in. So he's, a lot of it came from, like, being scared for his daughters. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they – I mean, they like Tyler said, they touched upon it lightly. But, I mean, you get the gist. I mean, I got the gist, you know what I'm saying, of the type of person he was. But, you know, they did highlight the things they really appreciated about him.
And, that, I mean, obviously that makes sense. It's their movie about their dad, you know. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything other than that. It is – what John just said is interesting. Like, I've always found that fascinating about him just in reading I get the Best American Sports Writing volume every year, and almost every year there's a story about one of the Williamses in that book. So I've read like a lot of writing about them over the years, and I think that dichotomy in him is fascinating. He had this hard-earned, justified hatred of the racism and classism within that sport, and yet he pushed his daughters into it at such a young age. So he's being super protective. But that's also where he's driving, right? Like, I think that's a really fascinating. I don't think you could ever explore that enough. You know what I mean?
They actually touched on that. He said the reason he pushed them into tennis is because there weren't black people in it, and he knew his girls would dominate.
And he had a particular plan, and a lot of things that he planned came true. Like, he spoke directly to them shits. You know what I'm saying? So there's some brilliance in how he moved. But yeah, clearly, like you said, there's some. I mean, the neighbors was calling the cops on him, and she was doing it for particular reasons based upon how they described it. But also, like, I would see them. If I saw kids out there practicing in the rain in Southern Cal, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would think a particular way about a parent as well. I wouldn't call the cops. I'd be like, damn, you know what I'm saying? I might mention something to him if I was cool with him, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So, I mean, it touched on that. But, I mean, it seemed like they shared a lot of the. I don't think you're that great as they are if you don't share some of that competitiveness. They shared a lot of that drive that he had for them to be great. They shared that. You know what I'm saying? Particularly Serena, where it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she wanted that motherfucking shit. You feel me? I mean, Venus too, but Serena, like, was seeing Venus be successful, and like, she couldn't wait for her shot. She was grinding behind the scenes a lot of the time. So,
I think people our age, like Serena, she's the best female athlete in the history of the world, and like has a very good case for best athlete period. But she'll always be Venus's little sister to me because I was rooting so hard for Venus. And then when the takeover started happening, it was like, I'm an older sibling as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
You know what I mean? And she, I think she felt a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Venus was supposed to be the one, you know what I'm saying? And Serena put that extra work in. It highlights that, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay. Is it time to talk about Will Smith?
Willard?
Might as well.
Willard!
Quote.
Bring your ass here, Willard. Quote, we got some discussions to have.
I had sex with so many women, and it was so constitutionally disagreeable to the core of my being.
Constitutionally disagreeable is you know what I mean?
That I developed a psychosomatic reaction to having an orgasm. It would literally make me gag and sometimes even vomit.
Bro, okay, at first, when did it happen? I wonder when it happened. You were the bad one. And y'all doing y'all thing. You finna ejaculate. This is you? And that's what's wild. Like, dude, in the 90s, dog, bro, in I had a better 99 than this nigga. You know what I'm saying? He was jealous of a ghost. The fuck? You know what I mean? And throwing up on pussy. You know what I mean? Willard's whole life has been a lie, dog.
It has.
His whole shit.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. There's so much here. But first off, let's start with that fucking word salad of a quote. The ill assault constitutionally disagreeable to the
psychosomatic.
I had a psychosomatic reaction and a projectile vomit. Motherfucker, why couldn't you just say I was getting so much ass I was disgusted with myself like a normal human for one? Because, you know, as sad as that might be, that shit still is a little cool, you know, if a motherfucker say that, right? Like, you know, a motherfucker saying, you know, I was getting so much ass, I started throwing up. Like, that's a Gucci bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the shit Gucci would say. Right? And he made that shit sound
uncool. He had too much sauce, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he had too much sauce, too much seasoning on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and one, I don't get, I mean, it's, I can't imagine you busting a nut and puking at the same time. Like, that is a special type of hell to be in. Like, and the poor woman who just experiences out of nowhere, I'm sure he didn't give them a warning, like, yeah, there's a very good chance that when I, you know, ejaculate, I might
have a psychosomatic reaction.
I might have a psychosomatic reaction against the core of my being, or that might, you know, culminate with some vomit on your breast.
On your person.
I might turn into a 6-month-old in the process of having sex with you. I might make a boo-boo on your chest.
A mouth boo-boo.
A mouth boo-boo. But yeah, it all comes back to what John said. This motherfucker was living a lie, and he was so dedicated to living a lie that, you know, the thought of him, you know, being a philanderer, a womanizer, made him fucking vomit. You know what I mean? And that's some shit that he got to unpack for himself, bro.
It's interesting. Like it's easy for, like, fame has never been desirable. You know what I mean? Since I was like maybe 12. You know what I mean? I'm like, this shit looks kind of whack. You know what I mean? So it's easy to make fame look trash, right? But to make getting pussy look trash, to make that is a talent. You are skilled at ruining shit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's think about it. This dude was the coolest celebrity in America when we were growing up.
I wouldn't say coolest.
But he was cool. But of the people who were like,
Tupac was coolest.
No, okay. But of the people who were of the dudes who were mainstream celebrities, right? It was like, oh damn, look, like Will Smith is cool as fuck.
Fresh Prince was cool.
You Fresh Prince was cool. I didn't know the difference as a kid between Fresh Prince and Will Smith, though.
Bro,
you know what
nigga,
I mean?
The nigga that was Welcome to Miami was not cool to me, bro.
not at all.
The rapper that was not cool. Was, yeah. Fresh Prince Very was fair. Cool, you know what I mean?
He made being rich look shitty. He made being married to a beautiful woman look shitty.
Looks
He's
scary.
Made being a dad
not
to
shitty.
Talented
scary.
Kids look shitty. And I'm actually going to read you, I'm actually looking at the full quote in his book that this is from, and I actually, this may actually be worse. So.
Wait a minute, did you buy the book?
No. Using the internet. I'm using the internet nefariously.
Okay. Is there a Mikael going on right now?
So this...
This ain't Mike buying Will's.
We're on the dark webs getting bootleg memoirs right now. Fucking don't call the cops on me. I'll air them out in the front yard. So the period he's talking about was after his first relationship with a girl named Melanie, she cheated on him. And so he was like a young celebrity. So he's describing what he went through trying to deal with that.
So Hitch. So he's a nigga from. So he is literally Hitch. The fuck?
So he said, quote, I desperately needed relief, but as there is no pill for heartbreak, I resorted to the homeopathic remedies of shopping and rampant sexual intercourse. Up until this.
Why is he talking like this?
He's a human. He did human things. It's not homeopathic. It's
hold
human.
On.
Homeopathic. That's how we define that shit. The fuck is
up?
What?
Up until this point in my life, I had only had. I can't believe this quote hasn't gone viral. Hold on. I have to deliver this. I have to deliver this without laughing in the middle of this sentence. Hold on. Up until this point in my life, I had only had sex with one woman other than Melanie. But over the next few months, I went full ghetto hyena.
What the
fuck? He talking like a white man.
Who is this Republican?
Who is this
1974
nigga,
Republican?
Right. Ghetto hyena. Ghetto hyena.
That's some J. Edgar Hoover shit, man.
What the fuck is going on? Bro.
Ghetto hyena?
He can't say nigga no more, bro. Take nigga away from Willer.
Yeah, nigga is revoked.
He really Willer. Is a Willer. You are not Will. You are Willer like a motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
Isn't that Mitt Romney's name? Isn't Mitt Romney a Willard? This motherfucker is Mitt Romney.
He ain't a Will. He a Mitt. He a Mitt. Mitt Smith, nigga.
On one page of talking about having so much sex that he disgusted himself, he used the following phrases. Rampant sexual discourse, constitutionally disagreeable, and a psychosomatic reaction.
Talking about pussy. Nigga, what is wrong with you, bro? I see why Jada ain't fucking with that man, dog. This man he don't sound just racist. He sound crazy. That is a crazy way to talk about that situation.
He said a ghetto hyena. I ain't never heard no shit. Hey, did you see the motherfucking did you see the Jada Smith tweet about Will's book where she called that man Will Smith in the tweet?
No,
it's like congratulations, Will Smith. No. I was like, God damn, she does not fuck with you at all, my dude.
No, she didn't. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. She called that man Will Smith in the congratulation tweet.
They roommates, bro. They ain't slept in the same bed in about 12 years, dog. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
There's a quote not long after the quote we were just talking about him and Jada early in their relationship that's kind of fucked up too, bro. It's just a weird... Just be rich. You know what I mean? Just be rich and don't tell us about how, like, you know, let us think that your life is cool because you're rich. Hold on, let me get this shit back up. This is fucking crazy.
You made a good point, though, in the group chat. You were saying, if somebody, wouldn't they quit if they was really, like, mentally stable at, like, 10, 20 mil? You know what I mean?
I know Tyler and I both watched a lot of Conan O'Brien's show when we were growing up, and he's talked about this. I've always really liked him because he's like he's serious about being silly, which I feel like is a good way of describing my life aesthetic. But on his podcast, he's talked a lot about like dealing with his own anxiety and stuff. And he's talked a lot of like with Will Ferrell and like a lot of other people that I find really funny. He actually had Kevin Hart on, and I'm not a Kevin Hart fan either. And their conversation about this subject was fascinating. But it is like, if you did not have a bottomless need to be approved and to get external validation, you would never make it to a point where any of us have ever heard of you. Because you would end up with a job in a writer's room making $120,000 a year, and you'd be like, cool, this is great. I don't need to go bomb in front of strangers and go through all the shit you have to go through to reach that certain level of fame. Like, you just... reach a level and be satisfied there. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing we're talking about with like the Williams sisters, right? Like, you're either, there's something in you that's taking you all the way up, or you're going to reach a level and you're not going to want to keep making your life harder when you have enough money to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Will Smith clearly from birth was one of the dudes who it was always needed more. You know what I mean? To the extent that even now when they own like $1 billion of property in Southern California. You know what I mean? They're still like, well, we have to tell people. We have to sell these books. We have to tell people. He has to tell people that he was having sex with Jada 4 times a day when they first started going out for 4 months because he was determined to sexually satisfy her. Like, you don't have to tell us that. You're already rich. Like, amazing. People embarrass themselves to get the money you already have, bro.
Dude, you made sex. Okay, Jada Pinkett. It was like Jada and Nia Long back in the day. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It was like Jada and Nia. You feel me? And you ruined it. Bro, how do you ruin that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you make that sound like a job? Like, sound like you got to clock in to be Jada Pinkett's husband or significant other. That's wild, bro.
Yeah, he does not make this shit sound fun at all.
Life.
At all.
Crazy.
I don't get it. John, you had a tweet that I wanted to discuss. I wanted to get some takes off on your tweet.
I love how you're making fun of me, low-key. Yeah. I low-key want to hug you because it's fun to mock me on these things.
Well, but I do also agree with you, and I are in the same marriage in this regard. But yeah. I'm trying to find the actual tweet. You tweeted.
I did some tweeting this past week. I was actually on Twitter.
Having a baby will get you on Twitter because you have a lot of downtime in between things. Or, yeah, you know yeah. what I mean? You said, okay, the worst part of being married is how constantly right wives are. You said you haven't been on the right side of an argument since summer. Elaborate, please.
Okay, this is the thing, bro. And it's motherfuckers that say, like, you know, just shut up and listen. You know what I mean? Like, first off, I'm glad my wife is my wife, because ain't nobody talking to a nigga like that. Jesus Christ, you feel me? But the thing is this, you know what I'm saying? I think it's partly, you know what I mean? I'm just selfish. I've been thinking about myself for 20 fucking years. You know what I mean? And we're socialized in that way, where men go out, sow their wild oats, focus on them, get themselves right, and then find a wife, right? But thinking about yourself when building a family, being selfish or inconsiderate in any way is always wrong. So my wife is brilliant. Like, her brilliance is published. Motherfuckers have literally written articles about how brilliant she is. You know what I'm saying? 2 master's degrees, fucking top 50 in her industry, all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's not intellectually where we have the issues. It's the fact that, like, I've thought about myself most of my life, and she's thought about others most of her life. And there's probably a bigger societal issue there. You know what I'm saying? Where she didn't have the space to think about herself. But when it comes to creating a family, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, if I'm going to keep being wrong if I'm not more considerate and less selfish. You know what I mean? Whenever I'm moving from that place, I'm always going to be wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, that's not an uncommon thing in marriages between men and women. You know what I'm saying? Where the man is thinking about himself and the wife is constantly not. You know what I'm saying? I've had to work on that. I've been working on that. But if I continue thinking like that, of course I'm gonna be wrong, motherfucker. I can't make any decision with just me in mind. You know what I'm saying? Zero decisions like that. So it's I said it in a funny way on Twitter, but there's some real shit.
But it's serious. It's serious, for sure.
There's some serious shit behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of being wrong. You know what I'm saying? Well, if I don't want to be wrong no more, then I need to move from a place that's less selfish and more considerate.
I win 3 or 4 arguments with Char a year, and I will give you an example of the argument that I won yesterday that I'm going to have to stretch out till probably February, which is she thought that Bart and Lisa Simpson were in 4th and 3rd grade, and I was like, no, no, they're in Lisa's 4th and 2nd grade.
Yeah, Lisa's in 2nd.
Thank
yeah.
you, Tyler. And so she thought, but she's so used to being right, she pulled her phone out and Googled it. You know, she was like, well, Mike is saying this to me. He must be wrong. And I was like, this is one subject I'm very confident I know more about than you. And I'm going to have to see. I'm going to have to make that stretch till Valentine's Day, bro, because I'm not going to win another one.
The things that I'm right about.
She's going to be like, she's going to be like talking about the balance between our kids having downtime versus doing activities. And I'm going to be like, you thought Lisa was in.
The things that I'm right about are usually when I'm uplifting her, when I'm like, nigga, you are you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, these are the things that I'm, that's why I'm usually right in our disagreements. We agree that the vast majority of the time. But yeah, when right. it comes up, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it, especially intellectually, you know what I'm saying? Like, we agree on a lot of the same shit. She wouldn't have married me if I was stupid. She way too smart for that. You know what I mean? She couldn't have been around me. She is that smart. I would have bored the shit out of her. You feel me? But the thing, but more than that is like, you know, just, you know, us, yeah, her just being so much more considerate and always have been that way. And in a living space, when you're sharing spaces with her, when you have a child involved and you're making decisions, if you're thinking from a place that I used to think, which are, you know, my default, you know what I'm saying, is going to be wrong.
I feel like I went a good share of the.
You're a very considerate, unselfish human being, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah, that's I think the that thing. Might play a part. I also know when to pick my hold up. Nope, nope. I also know I don't do that on everything, right? There's a lot of times when she has an opinion or an idea, and I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. Let's go with that. You know what I mean? So I'm not a dude that's pushing back on every fucking thing. It doesn't have to be my way all the time. But the times where I do, I'm usually right. I'll say that.
This is the thing, though, Tyler. You the one that said, get her the motherfucking chairs. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And you put a lot of it in perspective. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you approach life. I think also, like, well, I was the older brother. I was the oldest. I got my way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And my, it was, you know what I'm saying? I was the oldest. I got my way. People looked at me almost like a parent. A lot of my siblings say I'm the closest thing they had to a dad. You feel me? So I'm considered in ways where I'm like money, shit like that, you know, all, but when it comes to like everyday shit, you know, it's not about just giving somebody money or letting somebody, you know what I'm saying? It's about time. It's about energy. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm moving, and a lot of times I'm moving away, that's like, it's my way. This is how I've always moved. That's shit out the window, nigga. That shit dead. You know what I mean? How I always move ain't how you can move when you got a whole ass child and a wife in the house. You feel what I'm saying? And so that's the biggest
that
difference.
That devil dead.
That devil gone, boy. That devil dead, boy. You know what I'm saying? That devil dead. But see how you instantly went to that really good country accent? Because you a country nigga. You know what I'm saying? That's how Willard ain't got that. But no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I can't. If I'm moving like that, it's a wrap, G. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate that women don't have space to be more selfish, at least growing up. They're always navigating spaces that aren't their own. You know, they aren't designed for them. You know what I'm saying? As a man, I have a certain level of privilege, and it's obvious, you know, in certain ways. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm a nigga, so I got to move in a particular way. But I have there's a lot of spaces that I can move in the way that I like to move. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, as a woman, like, in an industry that's predominantly males, you know what I'm saying? Growing up how she grew up, she was always forced to think about other people. And, you know, that's great for families, you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, it's been great as far as, like, you know, building a family. And I just don't have that. And that's unfortunate, too. So I think that we have to find a balance of how we're, you know, socialized as humans. We're like, you know what I'm saying? Women should have the space to be selfish, you know? And it shouldn't always be my way or the highway. When I'm young, because I'm a man, I can go out and do what the fuck I want to do. That ain't it, nigga. Right. You know what I'm saying? We making a lot of bad husbands and dads doing that shit. And even if you in the house, just more than that, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know, you know, like the everyday shit and dealing with kids and wives, you know what I'm saying? We got to have some give, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And there was somebody said this, which was really smart. My stepdad said, you can either be right. He said, what y'all know the quote. He said, you could be right or you could be happy.
Well,
somebody elaborated on that. He said, you can be right or you can be happy, and you can easily be both. Yesterday in the comments, and I think that's the thing. We're like, it's not just about, you know, like happy wife, happy life. You know what I'm saying? It's about compromising. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so, and we're not built like that, and that's fucked up when it comes to, you know, later in life.
Yeah, it's egos play a part in this too, because I have no problem being wrong about shit, right? Like if Summer's right about some shit, I'm like, oh wow, okay, you were right, I was wrong.
Yeah.
The fucking end. You know what I mean? So. There's a big part of that to a lot of men, especially
ego.
You know,
that's like, a wild rare. Yeah. That's a wild rare fucking perspective to have. And I found like everything about my life got easier in my mid-20s when I was like, you know what? If I approach every situation like I have something to learn from the other person I'm talking to, and I welcome new information. We were talking about that with the Isaiah Stewart thing. I corrected my stupid tweet I put up about he didn't want to fight because my homie hit me up and he was like, no, that dude wanted to fight. And I was like, okay, shit, you know him.
Right. Cool.
I'm not out here like, well, I tweeted it, so it must be right, you know? But
I do think,
and I don't think it's necessarily people's fault, I do think that's the default stance of the human brain. Like, that cognitive dissonance is a motherfucker.
We see it on Twitter.
I committed on this.
At all times. So,
you see it on Twitter, but you do see that in real life, too.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Well, we can't change the way we do this at work because this is the way that I had to learn to do it, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, that holds so many aspects of humanity back. Like, there's people who think that we should continue to charge people $200,000 to go to college because they had to pay $200,000 to go to college. How does that make any sense?
Sick. But, yeah, man, that ego is really get in the way of a lot of shit. But yeah, I mean,
all right, I have one last topic. There's a theme of this show, and I don't know what it was. And I feel like it's my job to figure it out. But like everything in this show we've talked about is 10% related to each other. I haven't figured out what the theme is, but I want to end by talking about Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian.
Did y'all see that tweet I sent?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The tweet.
I see it. What did it say?
No, it didn't say nothing. It was an image, and it was.
Oh, the picture of him behind the steering wheel, looking like a devil.
No, it wasn't. It was looking like a devil. We call a lot of people devils.
That's the big meme of the show.
It's in there. That's part of it. But there's also something about relationships and love and violence. And I haven't quite figured out how it all comes together.
No, it was an image of what it looks like having sex with him. And it's so, bro. You got, hey, go to the group.
It's
chat.
Just him making shit. A. It's just him making a, a face.
What Kim Kardashian sees when she has sex? No. Like, bro, this is and it's
that motherfucker that dude. Yeah.
Right before he barfs on her after he ejaculates.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a lot of people are confused by it, but I mean, he's. There seems to be a fucking there is a big debate on if he's attractive or not, but the motherfucker's funny. He seems like a good time. Sometimes that's all women want, bro. It's that fucking simple. I mean, I can imagine after getting out of a relationship with Kanye.
Well, she ain't laughed in 2.5 years, dog.
right. Meet a motherfucker who's silly and carefree. Like, that's got to be a breath of fresh air, bro.
The tweet that I wanted to talk about that's exactly right is what you guys just mentioned. Everyone's saying, like, this doesn't make any sense, or just posting pictures of the two of them, like, how does this make sense? And everyone's saying, if you're funny enough, no one's out of your league. And that is the truest fucking shit in history, bro. Because I know I'm out of my weight class.
I told y'all,
for that exact reason.
I told
bro.
Y'all what the nurses were saying. Part of it was this pimping, as I told her. She don't love me. She love this pimping. Secondly, what I mean? It's that, if you around somebody that keeps you laughing, you're going to want to stay around them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's really simple. If you having fun with somebody, why would you not want to do that constantly? And I think that's it, bro. I love being around people I have fun with. You know what I'm saying? And that's all it is.
Well, you just said... Think about what her life has been like the last couple of years. And I would tell you, we've discussed this in the group chat, but you take your kid to Target by yourself and you're playing with the kid and like laughing and having fun. Miserable married women will literally just come up to you and be like, I wish my husband did this. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you catch someone in a tough enough home situation and you make them laugh or smile, it's like you are like a ray of heaven or something to them. And I am sure that's what this is for her. She's like, this dude just wants to like giggle and tell jokes and have me meet his friends. And he doesn't want anyone to take pictures of me or be weird. Like, he just wants to have fun and relax. Like, sounds great. Two thumbs
up. Listen, bro. Listen, bro, I seen that pic of them out on a pajama pants date. I was like, oh, they in love.
Oh, bro.
Like, when you step out in the double pajama pants, yeah, that's love.
Hey, Kanye out here, you embarrassing me, what you got on. She like, what I mean? And she out there just throwing shit on, having fun with somebody. Totally different energy, dog. Totally different energy. So, yeah.
She married her mom with Kanye.
You said what?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She married her mom with Kanye.
That was a power couple decision. That was like, you know what I'm saying?
Someone that very specifically does not have a plan probably seems like fucking an oasis to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She might
bring
be tired
kids
of niggas
over.
Too,
we'll
man.
Watch cartoons.
She might
you know
be
what
tired
I mean?
Of niggas, man. She might be tired of niggas. She see how Chloe getting done out here. You know what I'm saying? That nigga Travis Scott ain't the best example. You know what I mean? Kanye was on that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? So like she's like, look, man. I'm gonna ruin a white man now.
Ruin a white.
All right, I believe that's all. We didn't figure out what the theme was. You know, get at us.
I'm gonna ruin a different devil.
That's Jenkins and Jones. Thanks for fucking with us. We'll be back on Thursday. Bye.
Bye.